Darren's here. I don't need you anymore. See ya.
Hey, DC, there he is.
The whole idea when we started this was it was a bunch of buds that would get in the backyard around a barbecue or at the bar and talk football. And that's what we did. Gjallarhorn, we are back for another episode. We have the Cardinals from Arizona coming to town to fly into U.S. Bank Stadium. There may not be any birds that have smacked that stadium since it was built, but hopefully the Cardinals are the first one. And I'm talking, of course, about the football Cardinals. Now, we have a special guest today. Along with the true and favorite and my one and only partner, Drew Brees.
Wait, I'm taller than 5 foot one.
Okay. Drew Bunting.
What up, dogs?
We have direct from the furthest east reaches of Canada.
Oh, meow, meow.
Former blogger extraordinaire. Which you saw on Grant's Tomb and Kick-Ass Blog, Mr. Darren Campbell. Welcome, Darren.
Welcome, happy, Darren.
Happy to be here, guys. It's an honor, and I feel blessed. All the fucking athletes today say, I feel blessed. You can stick that word blessed up your ass.
Great introduction, baby. Yeah. Nice.
No eye black though. Sorry.
That's
I forgot my eye black today, but I know. Oh, Canada, our near and proud land, true patriot love. La la, as I raise my hand.
It does say true patriot love. You're not a patriot fan, are you?
No fucking way.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. That's good to know.
Vikings only.
Hey, settle something for me real fast. A 40-year question I've had. What is the best Canadian beer?
Best Canadian beer? Not
you
Molson.
Settle it.
Not Molson Canadian. Man, right. I don't know. I'm into the craft beer now, and there's so many good ones that I couldn't really pick. I'm partial to a little craft brewery called Big Spruce.
Give them a shout out.
Here in Cape Breton, Big Spruce Brewing.
There we go. Shout out. Big Spruce, baby.
Kitchen Party, a favorite of mine.
So the Moosehead, do they still make that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I used to get drunk on that pretty often.
Called Moose Piss in these parts of the world.
Woo!
But, hey. You know, somebody likes them because they're a multi-million-dollar company.
We've been talking for over 2 years, and it's finally good to see a face to the voice, man. It's kind of cool. I'm glad you're on.
Oh, well, happy to be here. Hopefully I'll be of some use, but remains to be seen.
Yes, it does. Dave probably has some intro questions for you.
Well, I've known you for probably 10 years.
That's e-knowing, right?
Yeah,
isn't that
e-knowing.
What they call it?
Yes, e-knowing, talking, you know, via messages and looking at remarks on blogs back in the day. And I've always followed your work, and I've really very much liked it. Why did you give it up?
I was just taking too much time, Dave, and I found that when I started, I was the same as everybody else, you know, just like you, like many others, you know, on Blogger. You know, you've got like a dozen people who follow regularly. Well, you probably had more, but And I just found that it was getting taking up too much time, and then you're getting into a couple of Facebook groups like we were, mm-hmm. and that's taking up time, and you're on Twitter, and because you need to build an audience, as you know, you need to be putting out consistent product like every day, three or four times a day if you can, like the Daily Norseman does, mm-hmm. and I just didn't have the time for it, and I also found it tough because there were so many blogs coming and so many blogs written by ex-players or like scouts, you know, who knew the inside of the game. And I was just like Andy Carlson, the podcast guy, like I'm just a jackass with a finger, right? Like fingers. Like he's a jackass with the microphone. And I never played the game. I just talked about what I saw, which may have been right or wrong, or probably mostly wrong. And I just found, if you wanted to build an audience, but you need to have some sort of inside knowledge or be on one of the platforms like the Daily Norseman. And I just wanted to keep it my own. And so I just decided enough was enough. Too much time. I got better things to do and just cut the cord.
I got you. I've gone through moments of burnout, and I know everybody has. And that was a lot of work to keep writing almost every day, if not every day.
Yeah,
to put something out.
I enjoy the hell out of the little piece you do in the Gallahorn group every week. It really is. It's really well. I don't even have to add to it. It's like you're reaching inside the Drewster's mind and you're pulling out all my thoughts, bro.
Very scary, but
that is scary.
Yeah, but you don't have deep thoughts there, Drew.
I have deep thoughts, just not about the Vikings.
Yeah. Well, that gives me a little opportunity to write a little bit like I used to on the blogs, I guess. So
I really enjoy it. It's really well written, dude. Keep going with that deep thought stuff. Love it. Princess,
and hopefully by the end of this week, I'll have your slide
logo
done.
Come on, get it done. God's sakes.
I know. It's tough being busy. Hey, I'll give you a heads up, Darren. You go into retirement or semi-retirement like Drew and I are, right? And you suddenly what I call it. And you're suddenly busier than you were when you worked 40 hours a week or better.
Boom. Exactly.
Well, right. I'm not in semi-retirement, but I'm being paid like I am.
Well, you told me about a project coming up.
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll get paid out of that one. You want to tell everybody about it?
It's still the we were just talking about craft brewing a few minutes ago, and it's a dream of mine, and working with a friend of mine very sporadically, of opening kind of a brew pub here where I'm from. And the only problem is there's two problems: location and capital. we don't have a location and we don't have any capital. So other than that, everything's going great.
Okay, well, good.
I'm willing to invest in it. I'm always looking. I'm always looking to get the iron in another fire. You know.
And with the exchange rate being what it is, if I got like $100 from you, Drew, invested, that'd be almost like 500,000 Canadian right now.
Yeah. Let's do it. We'll talk after the show. We'll sign the dotted lines after the show.
Well, and if you do get it up,
ew.
If you do get the business started,
there we go. That's better. Okay. Jesus, come on, Stefano. Fuck's sake,
up and running. Drew, Ted, and myself need to go on a long road trip.
Oh man!
So we could broadcast from it.
That would be sweet. Live show. That'd be sweet.
Do they let Bunting have a passport?
Well, that's a good question.
Oh yeah, I got that passport problem. That goes with the restraining orders, right? I'll get it cleared up. I'll talk to somebody. I need to get north of the border and watch a little hockey. Hey, your boys bounced back with 7 goals after we dusted you. Good to see you.
Yeah, well, a mirage, I'm sure. Many beatings to come. I don't know. We're not talking football here, but the Flyers are what they are. They're going to be middle of the row, middle of the pack, first round exit if they make the playoffs.
But you know, we love our ice hockey. Me and Darren always used to go back and forth about the Olympic. You always got the Olympic gold over me, though. I can't seem to get that. So, oh well, one of these. Yeah, years.
Didn't get one last year. So
the women got it though. That's pretty cool.
Oh.
Doesn't count though. Vikings. How do you feel about that game last Sunday, Mr. Darren Campbell?
Well, I think Ted was saying the same thing on the Raw, but I thought it was pretty solid road performance. I know Philly's struggling, but I feel there is a very good team hiding somewhere there. And so for us to go on the road, beat them, that's very unlike the Viking teams that we've watched pre-Zimmer. Like, yes, you know how it used to go, right? Like from the end of the Green Denny days to Tice, to Chile, to Leslie Frazier. If we played a team on the road outdoors and they were any good at all, we were getting blown out, right?
Right.
And I feel that even though the Vikings have struggled this year, I feel that since Zimmer's come along, that's not really a big worry of mine. Oh, we're playing outdoors on the road, we're going to get dusted. Right. We hang in there. We usually compete. We win a fair number of them. And so the Philly game was it was nice to see. And I like how the offense first series kill 7 minutes off the clock, basically.
Yes.
They missed the field goal, but it wasn't a three and out. And then it's full tilt boogie potentially for the Eagles.
The whole thing kind of felt like a different attitude all the way around. We didn't melt down at the end, but can this be a game that sends us off into, you know, a good little run here? Or?
I know you called it the catapult game.
Right.
Online and stuff, which I like that term. I'm not convinced, like right now with the Vikings, I don't know where this team is going. Haven't met my expectations or many Viking fans' expectations. And I'm hoping that game against Philly catapults them into like a 3 or 4 game winning streak that they need to go on. But I'm not convinced just because of what I've seen in the previous 4 games, especially on the defensive side.
Right.
I was watching, like I got NFL Game Pass, so I was watching the Bears-Vikings season finale last year, just
for
shits and giggles. And I did not recognize the defense I was playing in that game and the one I've been seeing this year. And granted, they were playing the Bears, and it was their last game, and they wanted to get the season done.
But, sure.
You know, Bears flying all over the field, making tackles for loss and running down guys. The defense is like they stuffed Jordan Hayward, who usually kills us. He got nothing. The throws, like Trey Waynes is batting down passes. They're all over the wide receivers. And, again, we know last year the Bears didn't have much in the passing game. But still, looking at that, and the way we played the whole 2018 season, it's defensively, it's night and day. I can't, like I said, I can't even recognize the two units as being made up of basically the same players. So that really worries me, even against the Cardinals, after what we saw with the Bills and that total crap fest.
Right.
It's just hard to believe in the Vikings right now until they put 2 or 3 games like they had against Philly together in a row. And then we can say, yeah, that's what this team is about. They do this well, this well, this well, and this well. And you know, then you can go into a game confident like we did almost last year, saying we know what the Vikings are going to do. They're going to hold you to 15, 16 points a game. They're not going to let you convert on third downs. They're going to run the ball decently. And Keenum's going to mosey around in the pocket and make big plays and occasionally throw a couple of WTF throws that hopefully won't get picked off. But we always knew that going into every game, or at least I felt I did. And this year, other than Cousins throwing for about 500 yards, I'm not really sure what I'm going to see week to week.
Let me throw this at you because I know Dave has some questions for us. I'll make this my last one. And you kind of hit on it right there when you were talking. It's kind of the elephant in the room, but I like to get people's opinion on it. Because the personnel is pretty much straight up from last year, what is your take? What is your opinion on what the hell is wrong with this defense?
ooh, what is my opinion?
I mean, it's hard. I mean, of course you want to look at, if you lost four or five players, you could just hang it on that. But it's not that.
I don't. Well, I feel that up until last week, Lynn and other people have mentioned this too, like Joseph, the interior, Joseph and Richardson have been very ineffective. And we're not winning on first downs. Like teams are getting 5-6 yards a pop on a running play or a screen. And then it's 2nd and 4 or 2nd and 3. And that's tough for any defense to really stop.
Sure.
We have to win on first downs more. And it doesn't seem to me like we've been doing it nearly enough. And that's been a big problem. And maybe, you know, the loss of Newman on the back end of things has been a bigger, you know, hit to the whole secondary and the way that plays than we thought. It doesn't explain why our linebackers can't cover tight ends and running backs. It doesn't explain why the other team's running team game is getting, getting consistent strong yardage on running plays on us, and we can't seem to stop them either at the line of scrimmage or get some penetration to get a few tackles for loss, which will put the offense behind, you know, in a bad way down and distance wise.
Right,
so
right.
That's kind of what I've been seeing. And I was looking at Football Outsiders stats today. Defensively, just on like pass coverage, and everybody's got their opinion on FO and how they do their rankings and stuff. Like, there's some weird stuff you'll see. Like, I noticed that Stephon Diggs is the 56th ranked wide receiver on their list.
What?
Yeah, and like Treadwell's tree stump is like 2 spots below him.
What?
So that makes you wonder. Like, Thielen is now the 6th or 7th rated wide receiver according to their rankings. So that makes sense. But Diggs being
changed their name to Football Outsiders on Meth.
Yeah. But on, then there's other stuff on there, like the coverage of wide receivers, tight ends, number 2 wide receivers, other wide receivers. And on that, the Vikings defense is listed against number 1 wide receivers, which would be who Xavier Rhodes would normally cover. We're 10th. So that's pretty good.
Right.
Number 2 wide receivers, the ones you'd think that Trey Waynes is on most of the time, were like lower, like in the 20s or something. And then tight ends, somebody cover George Kittle. and the running backs. And we know we've been getting killed by tight ends and running backs on screens all year.
We're
31st ranked in the league, according to FO, covering tight ends, and 32nd covering running backs. So that means we're 2nd last and last in the league in those 2 areas, which I think matches up well with what we've been seeing.
That's pretty accurate.
So I don't know, but just on the back end, we're not getting things done right either.
I'm going to have to give that a look. You're throwing out some numbers there, Darren. That's pretty cool.
Some more about the Cardinals.
As long as you don't have any power rankings, we don't do that shit on here.
No.
We don't do power rankings. This is where we have Muzak for the entertainment people so they can not get... You know what I'm talking about? You put that...
elevator music.
Like the TV stations do when they go to a rainbow screen.
Yeah. Put up the... We're having technical difficulties. First, it amazes me that Football Outsiders... You know, we give grief to Pro Football Focus all the time, especially when it comes to judging linemen. And I've looked at Football Outsiders, you know, for years, especially the DVOA and all the other stuff, but I hadn't looked to see that those rankings seem awfully bizarre, other than the defense against the tight ends and the running backs that I fully.
But you understand. Know what?
They also have their O-line is ranked 26th or 27th in the league, which I think
that's accurate.
I think that looks accurate too, but I think there's always stats on there that's why it's good, I think, in a way, because it kind of challenges your conventional wisdom of what things are like. And
because I can't see, if you look at a whole bunch of other stats, Thielen is literally the best in the league. Mm-hmm. But all right, if you want to throw him into advanced metrics and saying he's top 5, okay, I could buy off on that, and they have their reasons. But the fact that they had Diggsy so low, that's no, there's just no way.
I'm buying off on it just because Darren Campbell uses it. I trust Darren Campbell. When it comes to my Canadian hockey, when it comes to guitar players, when it comes to Football Outsider numbers, basically anything. I mean, the guy runs District 7. I mean, he's got it together, so I trust his knowledge. He wouldn't be looking up false numbers. So I want to throw that out there. I'm a full believer in whatever Darren Campbell, you know. I endorse this message.
I lost the election, Drew. You remember that, right?
You know what? You won it in my heart. That's all that matters. Hey, you know what? You ran. You're ballsy enough to run for it. So you got my vote.
Or stupid enough, but it depends.
No, you're not
dumb. How you look at it.
You're a Viking fan. You like the punishment.
True. All right. True.
Speaking of punishment, we're rolling into Sunday. The Arizona Cardinals with rookie Josh Rosen are going to be coming to town. This is a game on paper. I think I just looked at the line. Here, I'll check it real quick.
Don't look at the line, Dave.
10.5. Don't even look.
I saw it lower than that, but okay. But anyway,
we're not looking at that shit the rest of the season. Don't look at that shit, please.
The Vikings are easily favored, right?
Oh.
Across the board, we're favored.
Here we go.
I know. You're talking Buffalo coming into town again.
Talking about jinx. Talking about putting up the dagger too soon. Talking about mojo.
Hey, they've got to get over it. We don't suit up. We're not out there.
Hold your, how does it go? Give me one. Come on, Davey.
Hold your horses. But
that's right.
You and I aren't lining up there online, and Darren isn't back there calling signals. So
thank God.
You're
right. Anyways, what do you anticipate seeing Sunday, Darren?
Well, I anticipate that the Vikings are going to do a little bit similar to what they tried against Philly and try to get the run game going a little bit, but mix in the pass and run. You know, that the Cardinals have been terrible defending the run so far. Like, I know, Drew, you were crunching some numbers, but I think they gave up 182 yards against Washington running in the first game, 122 against the Bears, 171 against the Seahawks, 147 last week against the 49ers. Their best game, strangely, was they only gave up 90 against the Rams. I don't know what the hell was going on there. But I watched the Seahawks game and the 49ers game on Game Pass condensed. And those two teams were getting consistent, strong gains. You know, going wide, stretching out the defense, going up the middle. Arizona didn't tackle well most of the time. So I think that the Vikings and DeFilippo are going to try. If our running game is going to get going, this is the week where it could potentially happen. And we might actually run for like 100 yards combined. And if we do that,
they are currently second to last in rushing defense.
Yeah,
just to add on, 142 yards to give up a game. That's our average.
So I think that I don't think you can copy your game plan and do the same thing you did every week because opponents are different and how their players are different. The defenses they run are different and you got to maybe attack them certain ways. But I would still like to see the Vikings come out, you know, a couple of running backs next to Cousins, try a little run pass option, try to get Boone or Cook or Murray out wide. I don't want to see us do the conventional I formation, you know, 8 yards back, hand it off to Murray and try to play power football right away. Let's get quick passes because another big key was in that 49ers game, Chandler Jones was pretty much unblockable at times. He gave Joe Staley all kinds of problems. Here's this for a stat line for Chandler Jones. Six tackles. This is Chandler Jones against the 49ers. Six tackles, three tackles for a loss. He had a sack, which was a strip sack. He created a fumble on that. He recovered the fucking fumble. He had three quarterback hits. He batted down two passes at the line of scrimmage, and one of them was a two-point conversion that would have tied the game at 14-14 late in that game. So he did everything except blow up the football before the game.
Wow, that's good. So, that's good knowledge right there.
So we got to block him because he was pretty much the pass rush. Now, Arizona does seem to like the blitz. I, like, counted 16 blitzes or something like that, and I missed a bunch, and I didn't watch the count the last 4 minutes, and 49ers had two more drives after that. And Beathard did throw 54 times, so, but they do like to blitz a lot, send five or six guys on passing downs. And so we're going to see that. So that really means keep, you know, make sure you're in second and four if you're the Vikings, or second and five. Don't get, even though Cousins has done really well when pressured, we saw a couple of stories lately about that, like his accuracy is super high in production, but I don't want to see him having to go back there on second and nine or third and nine, having to try to make a big throw down after down after down. So let's keep things relatively balanced. It'd be nice to see him only have to throw like 30 passes this week.
Yeah, it would be.
They give up 142 yards a game on the ground, the Cardinals. There's no reason to at least start the game trying to attack them on the ground.
And they had the Cardinals against the 49ers had a hell of a time covering the tight end and running back and fullback on screens and short shit. Like they're almost as low rank covering tight ends and running backs on passes as we are, according to Football Outsiders. So I see us potentially, you know, making a lot of hay on that kind of short stuff if we utilize it right. You know the Cardinals are going to expect that we're going to try to do that because they're looking at what we did against Philly. They're looking at what 49ers did against them. But I still think we can be successful doing that if we do it the right way, do it smart, and you know, get some good gains on first, second down with the run game. Whether we can do that or not remains to be seen, but I feel somewhat confident that we can just in watching the Cardinals' defense and how bad they've been defending the run in the games that I've watched.
You do bring up a crucial point, though, DC, that where we get in trouble with games like this is second and third and long. When we get in third and long, we get into that three and out, and then we're contagious on our three and outs. We don't just have one. We'll have a whole quarter full of them. So we can't be in third and long. We can't do it. We're going to play right into their hands, like you said.
Yeah, but I think DeFilippo saw the light, if you want to put it that way. And we've gone to that short passing game because we have an absence of a run game.
Well, we did it last week, but
yeah, you know, and I'm hoping it continues. Because our offensive line is our weakest point, and it doesn't matter who's running the ball, and Cook should be back this week, hopefully. But we're not getting any push off that line.
Just keep it going. I could see
it's horrible. So
I could see us all talking in the second quarter saying, why the hell aren't we running the same play calls we did in Philly? I can totally see us saying that. Shit.
Well, that's because you've been a Vikings fan forever, and we all know that will happen.
The Cardinals had no business winning that game against the 49ers, by the way.
Did they win? I didn't even know who won.
Yeah, like 28 to whatever. I'm so happy that they got off the schneid and got their win I'd be nervous as hell if they were 0-5 coming in to play us. But the 49ers had five turnovers in that game. They had two interceptions, they had one strip sack that got returned for a touchdown. Another, the running back, the 49ers are driving and the running back fumbled it, and that got returned 40 yards to the 19-yard line or something, and then the Cardinals punched it in from there. Like, the 49ers gave them the game in a lot of ways, and which is kind of like what happened early on against the Bills with us.
I think you should get an award just for watching that fucking game.
Well, it's, I don't know. I find it interesting because I don't know, lately I've kind of, before a Vikings game, I kind of like to see what the opponent's doing, so I have some kind of idea of what we're up against, I have no idea about the X's and O's and the game and the subtleties and,
you kind of do, though. You know what you're talking about, bro. I can tell by talking to you. So you know your football, man, and your guitar players.
Yeah, but I thought watching the Bills play the Chargers before the Vikings played, I thought I had it all figured out, like how we were going to beat them by 30, and then boom. Oh, that was
no, I'm convinced that the egg laid for the Bills game was because of Everson Griffin, that the team was just not – what football was not in their forefront of their mind that day. And they were just walking through the motions.
Well, then you got to coach them up better. That's not a properly coached team then. You got.
Where'd you go, Drew?
He's frozen.
He's frozen. His internet just died. So you expect a game, if I get this right, where we're going to do some more running. We're going to do some short passing. We'll hopefully won't get into third and long situations, and the offense will be productive.
Yes, because I think that's all we need to do.
Okay.
Don't beat our, you know, be productive and don't turn the ball over 16 times like the 49ers did, and we should be good.
Okay. How do you envision the defense playing? And it looks like we already know Waynes is out of concussion protocol. He will be playing.
I don't know whether that's a plus or not in some ways. I thought Hughes played pretty decently in Waynes' absence. I guess the only thing is that it, you know, if you don't have Waynes in there, it cuts down on your depth, because then Hughes isn't playing in the slot. You got to put Mac Alexander in there, and then you got to use Holton Hill and that sort of stuff. But I, you know, again, watching, I don't, come on, Dave, we've seen the Vikings play five games now, and I don't think they change a whole lot defensively. What they're going to do, what they're going to do, rush four when they have to, try to stop the run, have, you know, six or seven guys back in coverage and tackle, rally to the ball, and, you know, blitz occasionally if they feel the time is right, send, you know, the hitman or a linebacker. And so I don't really think they're going to do much different than they've done. They're just going to hope that the guys all know are all in the right spots and that they can stop the running game. And Arizona's running game is terrible, by the way. Like David Johnson's, the most he's run for is 71 yards in a game this year. He doesn't look the same as he did two or three years ago, like not quite as explosive. I don't know if that's still coming back from the knee injury or what it is, but he doesn't look like the same guy he was a couple of years ago. So I don't really think defensively we're going to see anything really new. And what I saw from Rosen in the two games I've watched is that he, I think they got something there, the Cardinals, because he didn't seem to get rattled against Seattle or the 49ers. He seems pretty calm back there. He moves in the pocket pretty good. He'll step up, but against the 49ers in particular, like, he was spraying throws all over the place, like pretty inaccurate. And he only completed 10 of 27 passes. So that's, you know, so, but he missed, he threw a 75 yard bomb on the very first play of the game, and he threw for 75 more yards the rest of the game. Lots of bad misses. So I feel that, you know, if we can get consistent, not even need consistent pressure so much, but just get him moving in the pocket a little, and he's not going to be accurate enough on his throws to hurt us like some of, you know, the more elite guys have.
Right.
And well, the Cardinals, wide receivers drop a lot of passes too.
Yes, and they haven't been real effective. But if we get pressures, Drew and I have been working on that looking back last year and this year. Generally, if we get at least 20 quarterback pressures a game, we have like a 90% chance of winning. It's just like the use of the Mendoza line that you keyed the term, that if we hold them to 17 points, or Zimmer's, if I score 21 points, we win thing most of the time. If it goes back, if they get 20 pressures on the quarterback, which is only five per quarter, we win the majority of the time. Mm-hmm. And if we go higher than that, we guaranteed win. Because we're shutting down the pass. We're moving the quarterback off the mark. Now, The problem with Rosen is he can move. He's got the flex. He's young. He moves around, and he can still connect, which is good for them. So, but I still think we're going to shut him down. I think Zimmer has always been outstanding against rookie quarterbacks, and I don't see this being any different.
Yeah, that's what I – again, the Bills games got me kind of wondering, like, what the hell's going on, right? But I do think that with Rosen, if that he just isn't – at this point now, he isn't quite accurate enough for whatever reason back there. He's not getting sacked very much. He's only been sacked 3 times in the 3 games he's played, and he's not making a whole lot of, like, bad errors. He's been picked off once. That was in his first bit of work, and that when he replaced Bradford against the Bears. Other than that, I think the Cardinals aren't asking him to do a whole lot a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Occasionally they'll take a shot down the field, and they hit one last week right in the beginning of the game. But I think he should be somebody that our defense should handle easily.
Mm-hmm.
I say that knocking on wood, even though there's no wood around here.
Well, you live in a very rugged part of Canada, so I understand that. Well, it's time to wrap this puppy up. As you know, we say goodbye to the group, Gjallarhorn, and all the viewers. So is there any last thing you'd love to say?
I should have prepared myself for the response to this one, Dave, but Skol Vikings!
Woo! Skol Vikings!
Meow, meow! Vikings!